Hello, today is Wednesday, September 6th, and you are listening to Branching Out. My name is David Lopez, and I'm joined today with Doug Wilson. Doug?
Correct.
And Hello. Jay Fernandez of the Oak Park Fire Safe Council. Jay, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Doug, I want to start with you. Introduce yourself really quickly to our listeners and let us know kind of how you got involved in this Oak Park Fire Safe Council.
I was a longtime Oak Park resident, and we had the Woolsey Fire, and there was a number of like-minded individuals that wanted to do something about it. And so, you know, I reached out to the folks that were doing that, and we began to form this Fire Safe Council at that point in time.
All right. And Jay, give us a little bit on your background and why you're involved in the Fire Safe Council.
So I moved to Oak Park in 2001. At that time, I was still working, and I'm retired now from LA County Fire Department after about 30 years in the fire service. I read about the development of the Fire Safe Council in the Acorn, and much like Doug, it looked like a good thing for me to put my efforts towards. I was recently retired and had some time on my hands, and I just decided that I would try and give them a hand getting started.
And so I kind of want to jump off of that point, and you mentioned the Woolsey Fire by name. How much of that was a linchpin for your efforts here? And I'll let either one of you guys answer that question.
Well, I can say that we, you know, if you ask the seven folks that are board members of the Oak Park Fire Safe Council, every one of them would say that that was important. We lost, I think, roughly 35 homes burned down. We all know neighbors and friends that lost their place. And so that kind of thing is significant, and it impacts people. It impacted us, and we wanted to jump in.
For me, you know, I think it was a lot of it had to do with the fact that I had, you know, the time on my hands. But Oak Park is unique in its location, that it is in the top northeastern corner of this area, the Conejo Valley, at the end of Conejo Valley. And if you think about the Woolsey Fire and how it started, any fire that's going to start anywhere that region during a wind event, during the Santa Anas, it is going to come diagonally like it did straight towards Oak Park or Thousand Oaks or Agora. And so because of our unique location, it's really the perfect place to get it started, because we were the first homes that were impacted during the Woolsey Fire. And we could have lost a lot more homes, but next time if it happens again, hopefully we won't lose any homes if we get some of these efforts completed.
And you talk about next time, which in Southern California, we've all come to accept that it's an inevitability of living in this area. You're going to deal with wildfires, not if, but when. And I'm just curious to get what the state, in your opinion, Jay, as a retired firefighter, of where we are right now. From a climate standpoint, I mean, we've had a lot of rain, and so maybe people are feeling differently about it than they were in the middle of a drought. How are we looking right now as we are in the midst of fire season right now?
Well, rain at the right time of year just means more fuel. And it possibly means people clearing their brush or clearing their yards to get defensible space twice a season instead of just once. But, you know, everybody will tell you 1 year of good rain doesn't mean that it's going to continue or we're going to get back to normal. The thing about the fire service in this area is we have really good fire departments, and we have auto aid between Ventura and LA County. And on a regular day without wind and you get a fire that starts up, you basically have a terrain and fuel driven fire. And with all the aircraft we have and all of the resources, good stops are often made to the point where you just see some smoke and then it's out. But unfortunately, in a wind-driven fire, a wind-driven environment in a wind event, which is typically the Santa Anas, once a fire gets started, unfortunately, they almost always go to the best fire break we have, which is the Pacific Ocean. There's very, very few fires that have started during a Santa Ana wind event or a wind event that have not ended up at the ocean. And it's just the path that it's going to take. And a lot of the houses that get burned, the ones that burn down that were not directly impinged by fire, it's the ember cast, and it's the embers that can go up to a mile and a half to 3 miles in the air and accumulating around a house that has some live fuel that's not very fire resistant or just combustibles around their house. And one of our goals is to educate people to make their houses more fire resilient to ember casts, which means no intervention by the fire department because they're far enough away from the fire front and the embers are just building up, but they have nothing to burn if you've hardened your home.
So I understand that you guys are in the business of giving people the advice and the tips, and we'll get more into that a little bit as we go down the road. But I do want to ask kind of directly, as it pertains to palm trees, can I ask what... Do you have any advice or thoughts about palm trees as a former firefighter, Jay?
Well, understand that any advice or recommendations that we're giving are based on the data that Cal Fire has put together. And the Institute, I think it's the Institute of Business and Insurance that did the Embercast studies. You know, there's trees that are more resilient to wildfire and to ember casts, and there's trees that are not. Unfortunately, well, I'm not going to say unfortunately, but there's palm trees are part of Southern California. When you see a picture of Los Angeles, there's got to be at least a dozen palm trees in there, right? The biggest thing is to maintain your palm trees. I mean, if you don't trim your palm trees at all, then you have all those palm fronds that hang down, and those are very... They're very combustible, and they're gonna actually capture embers. So, and palm trees are considered an invasive species in the open space. To have them around your house is one thing, but then they end up in the creeks and in the open areas, and they're an invasive species, and they don't get trimmed there. So, my opinion about palm trees. The better they're trimmed, the more fire resilient they are. But I'm not an arborist. I couldn't really tell you much more about that other than certainly keeping the dead palm fronds trimmed and keeping a minimal amount of the fronds that are even green is going to make that tree more fire safe.
I just know, and the reason why I asked this question is some of the images that our photographers have captured while they're out covering like the Woolsey fire, for instance, without fail, it just seems to be that the palm trees have gone up in flames and they just ignite. It seems to be without fail. Whenever you see one of these houses, there's usually palm trees in and around.
Well, especially the invasive species, which is the one that you see more in the open areas. Mm-hmm. Some of the palms I think that people pick for landscaping, I don't know much more about that they are probably a little bit more fire resilient mm-hmm. than those typical invasive palms that we typically see around in the open areas that really don't belong there.
Okay.
And there's a couple of other species that are real challenging for fire. Certainly cypresses are one that we see a lot.
Okay.
All of these things... When Jay and his team go out and do the assessments and make recommendations for people, you know, sometimes the recommendation might be to remove a tree. That might be the optimal thing. But many times it's, you know, can we trim it in such a way that it makes it less hazardous, more fire resilient? So there are a few species that are a major challenge.
All right. And I'll piggyback on that last question. So the 2018, the Woolsey fire happens. And I want to ask in 2023 today, as you all get ready for your presentation this evening, are we as a community better prepared to handle an event, a fire like that?
In some ways, just the fact that the Fire Safe Council exists, and this is what we're trying to get out and communicate with homeowners in our community. There's a lot of information, a lot of resources that we make available to people. And more and more and more people are aware of that. And much of that is around preparedness and how you get ready and make your home more fire resilient. How do you get ready so that you're ready to move in case of fire, et cetera. So I do think we are, but I also think it's a large education task to get out to, you know, 15,000 people, 5,500 homes in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. So I'll piggyback on that and also touch on something that Doug said. So, Yeah. Yes, I would say we're more prepared because there's always lessons learned from fires. I think that every fire, the fire department becomes more prepared because of mistakes that may have been made. I mean, a fire is organized, a fire ground or a fire event is organized chaos. And with that being said, one of the problems that we had as a community was that people were not prepared to evacuate, and they had no plan to evacuate. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I'm never leaving my home. And obviously a lot of firefighters say that as well, but with a little more confidence. So one of the things that we're trying to implement is this ready, set, go concept. And so the ready part of it is being ready to evacuate just about any time, because it's not just wildland events, it's earthquakes, it's hazardous material event or something like that. So there's a disaster ready guide that was funded by the state that we're going to hand out at our event. And what it does is it has a place for you to fill out your emergency contacts, things like that, and just to get organized, to make a list of one of the things that you're going to want to take. One of the things I tell people when we do the assessments is just go ahead and run through a drill and get a bunch of boxes, figure out how they're going to fit in your car most efficiently, and then have those boxes ready to put your belongings in, have your pet carrier for your animals, have everything ready, some food for you, for them, some water, and be ready to go at any given time. So now you've gotten ready. You have that less, that you don't have to spend that time once a fire event starts that you have to do that. But part of hardening your home itself is part of that ready, because now you're not running around your house trying to trim something that you knew you should have trimmed or raked up leaves. You've kept it all clean. And by the same token, you've left a list of things you need to move away from your house or move inside of your house so that they won't gather or allow combustion to start when the embers get around your house. So if you get this type of preparation, you have more time to pay attention to TV, to listen for instructions, and you're hopefully a little bit more calm because you've taken care of all that stuff in the ready. And then the set is when you're loaded up and you're ready to go, and then there's the go. And you go when you're given the order. If you wait too long, then we end up with what happened last time with just everybody jammed up. Go early, you know, go ahead and stay with a neighbor or a relative or something like that. And just because it's really hard to get fire equipment in when all the roads are blocked with people trying to get out.
So one of the things you guys are talking about, and I do think that's a great resource to go and get, because a lot of people, I think, say they want to have a plan or figure out for a family, especially I've got a 2.5-year-old at home. You try and figure out what's the best thing to do and how do I do it? And when you're on your own, you kind of feel like maybe you come up with things, but you miss things. Whereas this is something that has been curated, I'm sure, to make sure you're hitting all the right stuff. So I think that's an important resource in and of itself for any Oak Park community member to go pick up tomorrow night or tonight. But what I also want to ask you guys about is, when it comes to wildfires now, insurance companies have become a big part of this discussion, with some insurers leaving the state now and not writing anymore because of wildfires in the area. So I just kind of wanted to ask you guys about some of the programs you're offering and that you'll be discussing tonight. And one of them that we were discussing earlier was the FireWise program. So just kind of, if you could explain to our listeners what that is and how that kind of all plays a role in this whole discussion.
Well, the FireWise program is a program that we work with neighborhoods and communities, and oftentimes it's with homeowners associations. And what you find with insurance companies, there has been a change at the California Department of Insurance, and they are now requiring that insurance companies recognize when a community has a program such as FireWise that increases fire resiliency, and they also want the insurance companies to recognize when individuals do things to improve the resiliency of their individual home. So if you're doing one or both of those things, then you have the ability, you have the documented ability to go to your insurance company and say, here's what we're doing. Now, this is a, you know, this is a program that these kind of programs take a while to roll out. And right now we there are roughly 20 insurance companies, although they tell me that's roughly 40% of the written insurance policies that are out there. So we have, you know, a number of companies that are actually offering it today that potentially help in the area of the insurance. However, of course, the primary goal here is protection of life and property and increased wildfire resiliency.
Of course, and that you made that point earlier where I said one of the goals here is to save structures, and you made the point of correcting me and also saying and life, and that's a really good point. But I wonder if the bad news, and I guess Jay, I'll pivot to you on this question, but I wonder if an insurer saying, you know what, we're not writing anymore, has this in your mind changed the perception of the homeowner that they're finally awake and taking this as serious as it should be, and hopefully not sticking around the next time something like this happens?
Well, certainly we feel like that's probably going to be a big motivator. We've been trying to get the word out, and we've been really focusing on the fire resiliency. And we actually always hoped that that would be the big motivator, is that you're six times more likely to come home to a house if you follow these recommendations from Cal Fire to harden your home. Mm-hmm. You're six times more likely to come back to your house and it still be there. And that has been already, that kind of data has already been studied by Cal Fire. And we always thought that that alone would be enough to motivate people, but it really is not, and has not been. But the insurance, this insurance issue, it seems like it's really going to motivate people, because if you're an insurance company, and insurance companies are there to make money, that means that the insurance companies are going to collect their premiums and hope that they do not have a bunch of claims to fill, right? So if you were running an insurance company and you found a whole community that made these efforts to be FireWise and to harden their homes, it would just make sense that those might be the houses that you might choose to insure over other houses. Now, of course, that's logic, and that doesn't mean that they're going to follow that kind of logic. But the Department of Insurance for the state of California is holding the insurance companies to task to have to consider communities that are FireWise recognized by the state or by the NFPA, or the residents have made efforts to harden their homes. The state of Florida, for example, is having the same issue with hurricane damage and hurricane insurance. Eventually, I believe the insurance companies are going to come back, because in Florida, they really can't do anything about hurricanes except for maybe have block houses and complete reconstruction of whole areas. Whereas in California, especially because the new building codes are stucco, a tile roof, or an asphalt shingle roof, enclosed eaves, eighth-inch screens instead of quarter-inch vent screens all around the house, those codes are already in place. So really, it's the perfect place. This community is new enough, Oak Park, that it's the perfect place to enact these home hardening efforts, because you will actually get the best result, because your house is already halfway or three-quarters of the way there. It just needs a little help to become more fire resilient.
And so is there anything, I want to give you guys the last word here to pitch tonight's event a little bit more to our listeners, especially for folks living at Oak Park right now. What would you like them to know if they're on the fence about coming or just hearing about this for the first time?
Well, I'll take a crack here. There's a couple, we've talked about the importance of the FireWise communities. And important in that is the ability to get your home wildfire assessment. So, you know, really two things that we would say. If this is important to you, if it's important to you to achieve wildfire resiliency with your home, number one, think about a free home wildfire assessment. We and our partners do those for you. and they will give you a ton of information that you can then either move forward on or not move forward on. It's totally up to you. We're not an enforcement agency, right? And the second thing is we need and we are looking for folks that want to be, you know, captains for the FireWise efforts in their communities. And if you're interested in jumping in and being a part of helping your community that way, this is a great opportunity.
And I said I was going to give you guys the last words, and perhaps I lied there. I want to ask one more follow-up question, because you all represent are in Oak Park. Acorn Country obviously extends beyond that. So if I'm in a community that doesn't have a fire safe council, and you all were part of the founding members of yours, what are the efforts it takes to start one? And as a homeowner, and I'm thinking, hey, this sounds like something we need in my neighborhood or city, what steps should I take to get this started?
So if you're in LA County, you can contact the Fire Prevention Division of Los Angeles County Fire Department, and they already have people there that are working to help communities start at FireWise. For the Santa Monica Mountains area, where it's LA County, you can go to the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains, and they do these home wildfire assessments in LA County. We work with our regional fire safe council in Ventura, and so we handle the area of Oak Park. But starting up a FireWise community, just because you live in LA County doesn't mean you can't go to our website at opfsc.org and read all about the programs, the FireWise programs. It's designed for people who are self-starters to just start working on it. And one of the first things that you do after you go ahead and put together your workshop or your council is you notify the local fire agency and tell them what your intentions are. And so for LA County, it's LA County Fire. For Ventura County, Ventura County Fire. And they have people already there to answer your questions and help you go through it. When you fill out some of those forms, you kind of need the fire agency's input. My big thing I would say is for people not to feel overwhelmed. We talk to some groups to start FireWise, and they get a little overwhelmed with, they think it's going to be a lot of work, and it really isn't. What we did with our 68 page or however long it is, that was a lot of work when we started the fire council. The FireWise is really not as hard. Mm-hmm. And the home hardening efforts, if you look at it a little piece at a time and do a little bit at a time, I mean, think of a 3-year plan. You don't have to do everything all at once. Just do a little bit at a time and you'll get there. So I would say, if you're on the fence about these issues, just come to our town hall. There'll be representatives from Ventura County Fire Department and from the Regional Fire Safe Council. And there's a lot of good education out there. And there'll be a chance to ask us questions and also talk to us after the event and give you some advice on the FireWise program and the home hardening efforts that the Cal Fire is trying to get going here in the state of California.
And I'll just throw in one other thing. Jay talked quite a bit about FireWise, and so I'll just talk about fire safe councils. And I've learned this from Jay. It's a great statement that fire really knows no boundary. And so in the way that we treat and that people have treated us as we started our fire safe council, we had tremendous help from other fire safe councils. For example, Bell Canyon, Ojai, and Ventura County have a lot of experience, and they've been very willing to help us. And then Ventura Regional Fire Safe Council is an umbrella organization, works with many communities, and is very willing to help them get going with fire safe councils as well.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to add before we let you go here?
No, for me, I just want to thank you very much and encourage people to come out tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the Oak Park Community Center.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.